It's time for your morning pep talk. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Beautiful Gulf Coast. It's a little bit of a rainy morning, but it's time for the garden line.
I feel like I've been up all night. I'm telling you.
I was just saying that too, right? It feels like we've been up for a minute with that storm. I don't know about anybody else.
The lightning and the thunder and the rain, it woke me up early. I'm going to say a little bit before four.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't go back to sleep, so I just got up and did a little work and
got ready for our show
today.
Got
ready for the garden line today. Absolutely. So I got more stuff here than we'll ever use. Exactly.
Exactly. I love it.
But, you know, we've got to start off by thanking, we do so much, and she deserves it. Our friend Catherine has brought us cupcakes.
Cute little Valentine cupcakes, too. Thank you, Catherine, so much.
Catherine, you are amazing. Just amazing.
We appreciate that, the love from everybody who listens in and encourages us or texts or call us. And if you have a question today, maybe you're wondering how your plants are holding up after that storm that blew through. Call us, text us, 437-1620. Mr. Wiggins and I would love to hear from you this morning.
We would love to hear. That's what makes the show fun.
Yes.
Is when we get all these calls and we can see what people are up to. Because that really is kind of interesting to me. And because there's so much going on. This gardening is such a broad topic. And, of course, we don't know all the answers here on the garden line. We wish we did, but we don't. But
I do. Come on.
That's right. That's right. Thank goodness for
that. I take that back. Don't hold it against me.
But do encourage the calls. Give us a call at 437-1620. We would love to hear from you. You know, there's some things that we do need to talk about. Maybe finish the conversation we had last week about trees. Because if you're going to plant trees, today is the day.
Oh, really?
Okay. Really, but this time of year is the day.
There's no lightning. You'll be okay.
Exactly. That's right. You can get out there, wear your raincoat, you'll be fine. But we're going to get some more rain on the latter part of the week. Then we're going to get cold again. So this is the time to do it. Because when people ask me, Mike, when is the best time to plant shade trees? I always say, find the coldest, nastiest day you can. In January and February, and that's the best time to do it. Simple reason is they just don't go through a shock. You do the same thing in planting a tree in August that you do here when it's cool. You're going to get probably different results because plants are just going to go through a shock in that heat. But in this cool weather, they have a chance for the roots to establish because those roots will still grow in our soil here in Pensacola. We're in zone 9, and that's what happens. So a great time to plant trees. And what we were going to do and what we started last week and ran out of time, as we always seem to on the garden line, is go through a little list of what trees are best for Pensacola.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And we started last week about which tree is not the best.
Right. That's right.
The dogwood. Absolutely.
And now, I don't think I've seen a dogwood other than maybe when I was in Texas one time.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember ever seeing them growing up north, so I'm not sure. I have, and I just don't recognize them.
Dogwood trees were just a staple. It was a basis, kind of like an oak tree or a magnolia for our part of the country. But back a couple of decades ago, they got diseased. As a matter of fact, there were quarantines shipping into Florida from other states from some of these growers that grew trees. So the dogwoods were really stressed. And then I've talked to people, and nobody can quite pin it down, but then you find out that other environmental factors got to them. They were stressed from the diseases they had up north, and then they got down here and it stressed again. And so they went through a period where we just said, don't plant them. Just do not do it. But I think there is some talk that they're making a rebound. They're looking better because nothing's prettier than a white dogwood in the spring.
Ooh.
No doubt about it. And in my neighborhood, I've got some folks that have them. The trees are a little rough looking even during the growing season, but they started blooming last year and they did pretty well. But one thing you need to know, if you're going to buy a dogwood and try it, a white dogwood is the only one to try. You may see at some of the garden centers, probably some of the big box stores, some pink dogwoods. They will not do well here. They just won't grow.
Why do they even try to sell them then?
Oh, yeah. Because I think people still want to try because they're such a gorgeous tree. So be careful. Do not plant a pink one, only a white one. The technical name is Cornus Florida. That's the name you may see on a tag. That means it's a white dogwood that you can try to plant. So in any event, you may want to look at some of the ones we're going to talk about right now and find something else that you like better. And a pretty good substitute for that is the redbud. The redbud is, I think we may have talked a little bit about that last week.
Right.
It's an understory tree. It'll do very well under some of your taller trees, like your live oaks, your pines, that type of thing. But it is a harbinger of spring. It will put out those red blooms so early. Now, they don't last that long, but it tells you that spring is on its way. Ooh. And they're very, very hardy. And it's a smaller growing tree, grows very similar to the size of dogwoods, maybe even a little shorter. So a redbud is a good substitute for that dogwood. And then my third choice here, and this is one that I really like, is the river birch. The river birch, of course, is a birch. A lot of people think about the canoes that our Native Americans used to build out of white birch trees.
Yeah.
This is a river birch, which has a reddish color. It doesn't have the white peely bark. It's kind of a reddish peely bark. And this is one thing we talked about, a characteristic of trees that you may want to look at is not only does the foliage look good, but the bark, when the tree is dormant like it is now, they have no leaves anywhere, the trunk looks very nice. The bark is pretty. And on a river birch, so many people do multi-trunk. Most of these trees are not single-trunk trees, but river birch, many times, is multi-trunk with a nice, a little more of a delicate leaf structure than, say, a sycamore or even an oak tree. But it's a great tree. And I think we talked last week about privacy and line-of-sight situations.
Yes.
Well, if you've got a back fence and you want some privacy quick, in the summertime, in the growing season, a river birch is a good one because it grows very, very fast.
Yeah, and so, it's something good for you to have in your yard, a little extra foliage, maybe some extra oxygen.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Now, another one is a Japanese magnolia. Japanese magnolia is the one that you talk about, a harbinger of spring. Big saucer-like blooms, and you ought to be able to, you're starting to see them right now. They're all budded up and ready to go. They're going to be pretty probably in the next 30 days. It's a Japanese magnolia. They have different kinds of Japanese magnolias, if you will, but you'll see them all over town, and you'll know exactly when you see them because, once again, it's a smaller plant, almost, in some instances, almost looks like a shrub, but it's got those big, beautiful blossoms, it's a great tree. Here's one that's a staple. If you want a big shade tree, a fast-growing shade tree that is very pretty in the fall, a red maple is probably your best.
Ooh,
a red maple is probably your
best.
Those
are so pretty.
Now, you've got to be careful because, as we've said before on the garden line, watch your telephone lines. Watch any kind of lines that come across your property. Watch your house, your driveways, that type of thing, because they're going to grow very, very big and could potentially give you root problems under your driveway or even in your flower bed. But red maple is a staple here in Pensacola if you want a good, hardy, fast-growing, very pretty shade tree. I just want to stop right here and say one thing. Be sure to buy these trees that are in containers. Years ago, we used to buy them and sell them bare root. They dig them up in Tennessee in January, ship them to Pensacola, and somebody would pop them in a pot, or just what they call heel them in. They would dig a trench and just plant a bunch of them in a trench, and you'd buy your tree, take it home, and then plant it. That's going to maybe increase your chances of plant shock.
Oh.
So buy a tree that has been grown in the container. Big reason why. All the roots are in that container.
Yes.
And so they haven't been chopped up in order to dig that tree out of the ground and then send it to Pensacola.
We want to be kind to our plants and to our trees. Hey, we're going to take a quick break.
Let's do it.
Stick around. We've got more on the Garden Line.
Hey, Pensacola. Being Pensacola's plumber for over 40 years has earned us some wonderful customers we like to call friends. This is Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we would like to thank each of you for voting us as your choice for Best Plumbing Company in 2018 and 2019 Best of the Bay. Having the best team in town and offering the flat rate pricing system that our founder, my dad, Louis Barbieri, founded in the 90s, keeps our customers happy. It's not every day that you need a plumber, but when you do, we take the fear out of the call with the flat rate pricing system. That means you know the exact cost of the job before the job starts, rather than paying by the hour. So the next time you have a plumbing issue, call the best plumbing company in the 2018 and the 2019 Best of the Bay, Barbieri Plumbing, 477-8782. That's 477-8782, and like us on Facebook.
License number RF11067749.
This is Davis Allen, Program Director for ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM, and we're hiring here. Right now, we do have an immediate job opening for the part-time role of producer for Sports Drive with Chad Brilliante, as well as Talk Football with Coach K. This includes producing on-air promos, but also previous radio, TV, and production experience. It's preferred, but we are willing to train. You can find out more, along with an ADX job application, at ESPNPensacola.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Fox News, every 30 minutes, 24/7.
A new low.
Most trusted, most watched, and in Pensacola, most heard.
The number of new coronavirus cases reported across America yesterday was under 100,000 for the first time this year, though it was a Sunday when reporting numbers often tend to be lower. This as new COVID strains keep spreading.
And now disease tracking studies show it's well on its way to becoming the dominant version of the virus here in the U.S.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
With Mike Wiggins. Good morning, everyone. Mike, we've been chatting about trees and everything in the break, but I'm taking notes so I can put these notes on the podcast as well so people can go back and reference them as well.
Good.
And I'm loving the do's and the don'ts with the trees
because
we have to be mindful to not hurt our trees as well.
Well, that's you're absolutely right. And one of the secrets is planning. Planning where you're going to put it in relation to your house. And I think I'm repeating myself, but a red maple, let's go back to the red maple. If you own a home and you plant a red maple on the west side of your house, that's going to help cool your house in the summer and warm your house in the winter. So it really helps the environment, not only outside, but inside your house, because it creates that shade in the summer. And the leaves all go away, and so your sun is getting in there in the winter. So that's a good way to help with your electric bill, if you will.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge plus. And, hey, we have a text coming in. Our listener says, I'm planning on buying 3 pallets of sod this spring and planting it on bare, dark ground in an unshaded area. I have 4 golden retrievers, and the area sees high traffic in certain spots. Which type of sod do you recommend?
Great question. We could do a week-long seminar on that question.
Oh.
Because that is a great question. Number one, no, she says it's out in the full sun.
Yes.
That is critical. Because if you're going to put in sod, you will have people tell you, oh, well, plant that sod because it's shade tolerant. It likes the shade. No grass likes the shade. No lawn grass likes the shade as the best place to be planted. They like full sun. Traffic is an issue. Traffic is definitely an issue. One of two. St. Augustine is still one of my favorites, and Zoysia is very good too. And for traffic, your Zoysia might even be best. They both like the same type of fertilizer, generally the same type of pH in the soil. They like a little lime, as a matter of fact. Zoysia, you can cut it a little lower. St. Augustine, you have to cut it high, 4 inches. Very important. Always cut St. Augustine 4 inches. If you're putting it out where it's going to have a lot of traffic, here's one thing you really need to remember. We all have had kids, and they're all going to play soccer or whatever in the front yard. It's just the way it's going to go. But if you can reduce the traffic in the winter, in other words, right now, when that grass is literally brown and dormant, that's when the traffic in the grass can cause the most damage. So if you look, most people have the big garbage cans. In our, in the city, you've got a black one. In the county, you've got the green one. And so if you look where you haul that garbage can out, say it's in your backyard, you'll see you're probably making a path there because of the traffic you take, especially during the winter months. But insofar as planting that sod, I would either go with St. Augustine or Zoysia. Zoysia may be a little more pricey. I'm not sure what the spring prices are going to be. But be sure you do a couple of things. One, be sure that area in which you're going to plant it, you turn that soil, you turn it, and then rake it smooth. I want it to be soft and level and moist. Water it before you put down the sod. That is critical. And then after you put down the sod, you're going to want to water it almost every day. Now, for a while, not long, but for a week or so, water it every day. And I would wait. At this point in time, I would wait to do it. Let's let the grass kind of start coming out of dormancy, because if you go buy sod now, chances are it's going to be brown sod, which might work depending on how cold we get in February and March. But you really want to look at that sod that you're buying and see what it looks like. Be sure it's good quality. Be sure that the base of it is thick. Be sure it doesn't have any weeds in it. And you're really hard to tell that in the dormant season. So I would tend to wait probably till even maybe March, do it latter part of March, first part of April. I think that would be fine. That would give it the whole season to take hold and mature. But that's what I would do. I would put down some lime at about a rate of about 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. I think that's important to get that pH right. If you're going to put in St. Augustine, especially Zoysia, about the same. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to put in sod, and I've been told, because some people used to tell people this, I don't want to mow it for about 4 to 5 weeks. Not true. Mow it when it needs it. I don't care if it's 2 weeks after you put it down, but never, ever change that the height on your lawnmower. If you got St. Augustine, put it at 4 inches and never, ever change it. Never. Like some people in the fall will scalp their lawn. That's the worst thing you can do. Zoysia, you can mow lower, 2.5 or so, but set your mower and never change it. So prepare the soil, get it right, water it first, put the sod down, water it, mow it when it needs it, and you should be in good shape.
Wow.
But insofar as the dogs are concerned, that may be a problem that you just have to face, because there's really no way you're going to stop that. And you don't want to keep the dogs off the lawn. You want to go out there and play with them and have them have a good time. But be careful. If they're digging holes, that's a whole new subject.
Right? That's true. And I'm a dog owner, and I want my dog to be able to enjoy our backyard, which we're starting to do.
Run around with the kids, and of course you do.
Oh, it's so much fun. Mm. And Catherine, she just texted in, and she said that there is a nice article on trees in today's Pensacola News Journal. And I believe she says it is on 2B. All right, so we have some tree love going on in the newspaper today. That's good to know.
That's exactly right.
I appreciate that.
And to amplify that, Catherine, I think I'm correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. That same article is talking about trees, but at the end of the article, it also started talking about if you have an area where nothing will grow, some absolutely shade-loving plants that you can plant that will grow in the shade. where that St. Augustine and Zoysia and Centipede won't grow. Put into your landscape it, but put in some shade-loving plants. And we have a great choices on that. And maybe in the next show or so, we'll get into that.
Yeah, I would love that.
But there's some great shade-loving plants in Pensacola that look great. Some even look kind of tropical, but yet they'll put up with our cold weather.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a great subject. So, Catherine, thanks.
Yes.
And so that's a great article. I read that this morning when I was up, when I had to get up because of the storm.
Right. Oh, I am loving all the questions coming in. Keep them coming. We'll get to them right after this break.
Do you find marketing your business to be a challenge? Are you completely overwhelmed by the ever-changing landscape of how to promote your business on various social media platforms, how to keep up with your Google ranking, generate leads, and all the small details in between? As a business owner, you're pulled in every direction possible. Allow the team of experts at ADX Digital to handle the digital marketing piece of the puzzle for you. Our team of experienced marketing professionals will work with you and your team to create a custom digital marketing campaign tailored exactly to market to your ideal customer. Increase your website traffic, generate qualified leads, and overall, increase business for you. Contact ADX Digital today to set up a time to meet with the team and discover how we are your partner every step of the way for small business marketing. Visit ADXDigitalMarketing.com to schedule a time to let us show you the possibilities for your business. ADX Digital Marketing, your comprehensive digital marketing partner.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal services and technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, HR, billing, client intake, and more. So you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Florida Army National Guard. Aired by the Florida Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 with Mike Wiggins. I'm Jenna Barr, and we have been answering all your questions. Continue to text them in or call 437-1620. And we're talking about the appropriate trees, how to handle them, how to plant them, not to shock them or ruin them. And we have tons of questions coming through. Actually, this one is really interesting, and I would love to know the answer too. It says, hey, Mike, do you happen to know the name of some of the bushes around Maritime Park? Apparently, this listener is interested in the bushes that have dark green and red leaves, and they're mostly under the palm trees.
I don't know, but I'll tell you right now, I've got to run downtown later this week, and I'll swing by there and take a look at that.
Okay.
The landscaping is very pretty down there,
right?
Especially around the water and with
yes.
the water feature.
And if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's like kind of on the hill. And this listener can text me too and let me know if I'm correct. And in between the playground area and that hill that goes over to the amphitheater.
I know exactly what you mean.
And they're
by the statue
really
of Vince
pretty.
Wills.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
oh,
right
yeah.
there actually.
Exactly.
And so
yeah.
there.
No, I'll wander back there this week and take a look at that and. A lot of the city plantings, especially along, if you look like along Bayfront, a lot of that is some of the ornamental grasses we've talked about.
Yes.
Some of the muley grass, but they've also planted a lot of flax lilies there. The ones that grow just kind of almost like a liriope, a monkey grass, but it grows a little taller and has a thicker variegated blade to it. And I think we talked last week about where's the best flax lily in town.
Right. And you said, didn't you say, right out here?
Right here, yes. Right outside the studio.
We forgot to take our little tour.
Yeah, the second best are in my yard. I do like them. The trouble with they, if we get really cold, they'll be affected by the cold. Gets really cold, you may have to cut them back.
Right.
But hopefully they're going to make it through without too much cold this winter. But
yes. Hopefully
we'll
it's almost over,
exactly.
too, right?
But I will make that trip downtown and look at that. And I really appreciate the text on that.
Absolutely. Keep them coming in. We have more. But you know what? We're going to take a quick break. Let's check in the newsroom with Mark Jacobs.
Good morning. COVID hospitalizations in Escambia County headed back up again. The story after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. Findings just released on the chopper crash that killed retired Laker star Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter, and seven others last year. Officials say the pilot made a misjudgment in the weather.
He was flying under visual flight rules, or VFR, which legally prohibited him from penetrating the clouds. However, as we've seen in so many accidents, this pilot continued his VFR flight into clouds.
NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt. World Health Organization scientists searching in China for answers to COVID's origin cast doubt on the theory it escaped from a lab there.
Laboratory incident hypothesis is extremely unlikely.
Peter Ben Embarek says it's more likely the virus jumped to humans from an animal.
Fox's Simon Owen. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 9:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 59. It's cloudy. I'm Mark Jacobs. No new COVID-19 deaths reported Monday in Escambia or Santa Rosa counties. There were 85 new cases in Escambia County and 40 additional cases in Santa Rosa County. And after dropping from 181 to 148 since the first of the month, hospitalizations in Escambia County yesterday jumped back up to 159. Florida added just over 5,700 new cases yesterday, as well as 127 new deaths. The second impeachment trial for former President Trump begins today in the U.S. Senate. We'll have live coverage of today's proceedings starting at 12 noon. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms will start to end as we head into the late afternoon. For today, we will be seeing mostly cloudy skies, that high near 68 degrees. As we head overnight, about a 20% chance of showers after midnight, patchy fog, otherwise cloudy with a low near 61. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
59 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 57 in Milton at 9:33. Our next news at 10 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with your Money Now. Stocks are mixed. The Dow Industrials down 65, coming off a record high at 31,321. The S&P 500 is down 2, but the NASDAQ is up another 46 in record territory. Take-Two Interactive Software reported increased revenue and net bookings for the latest quarter, despite not putting out a major holiday release. The video game company said spending inside its existing games increased 30%, thanks in part to updates to titles such as Grand Theft Auto Online. Older games also attracted first-time buyers. After Canada said it's banning cruise lines carrying more than 100 passengers until March of next year, Disney has confirmed bookings for all upcoming sailings to Alaska have been suspended. Due to the Canadian ban, it is likely that Disney will have to cancel its entire 2021 Alaskan sailing season, which runs from May through September. That's your Money Now.
And now, with a step back in the archives of Pensacola News, here's John Appleyard.
February the 9th, 1766, from the village of Pensacola in British West Florida. This is News Radio 1620. And now also on FM 92.3. Governor George Johnstone has just exited from a meeting of newsmen where he announced that effective February 15th, Lieutenant Elias Durnford will supervise a work of a squad of British regulars in a new project, the draining of the swamps which border the city's east and west sides. In his earlier work, Durnford had established safeguards for the spring, which arises to create the creek along the community's west side, this being the principal source of potable water. Now, at the urging of Dr. John Lorimer, work will begin to try and dry the land and end the marsh swamp conditions, which the doctor believes is the source of the fevers, which plague the people here each summer. Durnford, who is a civil engineer, has already drawn plans to be used to guide the waters clear of the swamp. Dr. Lorimer was insistent on actions, repeating that last summer there were more than 200 deaths from fevers here in Pensacola, two-thirds of them men in the military. This is John Appleyard for News Radio 1620.
Take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr, and it is your Pensacola Expert Panel, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And we have a ton of questions coming through. We're going to try to get to all of them as well as Mr. Wiggins' agenda. But I know a listener had texted in a picture of a possible weed. And so we're going to find out the answer, correct?
Exactly. It looks a little bit like that burrweed that... Is difficult to walk through, but I'm going to take that picture and see if I can get the exact name of that weed. The funny thing about the picture that the person who texted or sent us, it's got a whole bunch of dollar weed at the top of the picture.
I just love them. I think they're beautiful. But I just see them. I'm like, and we've had the tiny ones that cover your entire lawn. And for me, I'm like, well, if it's green, I think it's pretty to look at. So I absolutely love the dollar weed.
I have to tell you, I've been in the business for a long time. Nobody has ever said that dollar weed were cute. Never. I think that is terrific. But I will tell you this. This is an interesting aside real quick about dollar weed. I went to a convention in Las Vegas one time. And I was in a hotel. I was on the ground floor and had a little garden out there, and where you would normally think grass. You know what the ground cover was in Las Vegas? Dollar weed.
No way.
Oh, yeah, they planted it. They had planted it, and it was perfect.
You can get some green out there in Vegas.
It depends on where you are. You know, we're here in Pensacola. It's just a weed, because the definition of a weed is a plant in the wrong place.
Okay.
And that's sort of what dollar weed
An
is.
An out of place. Okay.
I mean, I would like you to get some of it and put it in a pot. You know, you can make a little pot plant out of it.
I would love that. You just gave me a really good weekend idea, actually. Yeah. My husband's going to think I'm going crazy.
Yeah, I said, Jenny, what'd you do last weekend? Oh, I potted up some dollar weed.
Yeah. I'm going to sell it at the market.
Well, I always said if you lived in Gulf Breeze and if you could eat dollar weed, we could feed the third world.
There you go.
Because in Gulf Breeze,
now don't try
everywhere.
That.
No,
we
no,
don't know.
Do not.
Hey, we have some more texts coming in. Oh, this listener wants to know, where can I buy a Japanese magnolia locally?
Oh, great idea. Great question. Two places. Number one, try my good friend Mike Robertson out at Mike's Gardens in Gulf Breeze. Right as you get off the Garcon Point Bridge, right to the left. He's right there. You can't miss him.
Oh, there you go.
And do that. Or my friend Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden. Those are local garden centers. They'll know exactly what you're talking about, and they can get that tree for you. So, yes, that's a good choice. Jenny, we need to take a step back also to one of the texters about the weed that we are going to identify and the dollar weed and all that we were having fun with. If you want to get rid of those, there's a couple of ways to do that. One, this time of year, and that's why I wanted to come back to that, this is the time of year, middle of February, to put out your atrazine. There's no doubt about it. Atrazine is a pre-emergence that's going to keep future weeds from coming up, especially grassy weeds. However, atrazine sometimes will have a post-emergence effect that might help with that dollar weed. Now, what we saw there was big clumps of a weed.
Yeah.
And so you may want to get one of your what we call non-selective weed killer, something that kills everything. Kill it, rake it out, and then put in your grass or plants or whatever you want to do. But I wanted to mention that because that pre-emergence weed control is very timely. And who would think that this weekend, when we may be in the 30s, that it's a good time to do it.
Right.
But in the next couple of weeks, do it, because I promise you, as we get into late February and March, we hit some mid-70s, maybe even 80 every now and then, those weeds are going to come on like gangbusters.
Yeah.
So you need to get that pre-emergence out.
Okay, that's
don't a- use. Oh, okay. Don't use the weed and feed though. Remember,
right?
Use the atrazine, or even Dimension, if you will. Use those by themselves because we're not going to fertilize till that grass starts greening up in March and April.
Right. So wait a little bit on the fertilizer.
Exactly.
Okay. Now we have some questions coming in about vegetable gardens, actually. And so you can, we're going to tap on this real quick. It says, I'm planning on putting in a vegetable garden in a partially, on a partially shaded morning till noon. Okay. It says the area is partially shaded morning till noon and then full sun. Tips on tilling. Let's see. So the area is going to be partially shaded in the morning and then full sun
in the afternoon.
The rest of the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
So is that a good area for a vegetable garden?
Well, the optimum situation is full sun.
Full,
It just is. But if you've got to have a reduction in sunlight, morning is the best and have that afternoon sun. I've had some success over the past couple of years growing some herbs and tomato plants and peppers on side of my house that is shaded in the morning and gets that total afternoon sun. So I think that would be fine. But if you're going to do that and if you're going to plant as opposed to in containers, be sure to prepare that area with Canadian sphagnum peat moss, some organic material, and a little lime. Use those three things. You don't have to load it up with fertilizer yet, but those three things are very, very important.
Okay. So when do – another text came in. When do you fertilize vegetable gardens?
After they've established themselves.
Okay.
And then you need to use a low nitrogen fertilizer. The old farmers used to use a 4-12-12 fertilizer. Low in nitrogen, high in phosphate, high in potash. That was the ideal. You really can't find that exact formula anymore. You might find it at our old friend Barnes Feed. You might try that. But otherwise, just find a good tomato fertilizer. You can do liquid. You can do granular. But you're going to need to do it probably about every 30 days at least.
Okay. Wait till they
yeah,
start.
Let's get them established because what some people do, new vegetable gardeners, I know the person who sent us the text wouldn't do this. They'll dig a little hole, take a handful of fertilizer, put it in the bottom of the hole, put the plant on top of it, and push dirt around it.
Right.
You're destined for failure.
Okay, they'll die
quickly. You just don't want to fertilize too much, too quick, because it'll literally just sometimes, I'd say burn the roots is not a very technical way to put it. But
no,
I
understand.
It's just not the way to do it.
Right. Awesome. I'm loving all these questions. Please continue, 437-1620. I want to jump back over to the trees.
Oh, okay.
If we, it's just, we were talking about the don't plant the pink dogwood, right?
No.
And we were talking about which plants do plant, do and don't, right?
Exactly.
So we were getting down to the Japanese magnolia, and somebody had asked where to find them. And then we were talking about the red maple. And
Very pretty.
During the break, we were talking about magnolias.
Yeah. Let's go to magnolias.
Yeah.
Let's go to magnolias. Very interesting. Magnolias, obviously, to me, they're Pensacola. They're
yes.
the south. It's just beautiful magnolias. They have beautiful white blossoms. But if you've got one in your yard, a couple things you've got to do. One, you've got to not plant it underneath telephone lines. That's not going to work. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready to clean up after that tree constantly. It will drop leaves what seems like every day of the year, and it is a big mess. Plus, you get some surface roots. It's hard to plant anything underneath it. The experts say don't prune it up. Let the limbs kind of go almost all the way to the ground. That's the best way to grow a magnolia. Now, there is some interesting things that have developed over the years, and of course, time goes fast at my age, probably 10 to 15 years, new varieties of magnolias. There's one called Little Jim.
Oh.
And Little Jim is a great magnolia because as opposed to that big, widespread, what they call Magnolia grandiflora, which is the big one that
big
grows,
ones.
Little Jim kind of has a more upright growth.
Okay.
So, for example, if you are going to put one to anchor the corner of a home, for example, you want to plant it out a little bit, but it's going to give you more of a vertical growth than horizontal growth. Little Jim. It's a great, and you'll see them. A lot of the landscapers use them all the time nowadays.
They're cute.
Really, if you want magnolias, they're a good variety, at least to take a look at.
That's awesome. And it's really good. You know, we're just, I love just learning about like all the different history of the trees as well. It teaches me something every day, and we have more to teach you as well. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Whatever your style and comfort needs are for your next car or SUV, let Pete Moore Imports fit you to perfection with a new Volkswagen. For the drivers who need a big SUV, the 2021.5 VW Atlas S is one of the biggest SUVs on the road today with a big discount of over $4,400. On sale from $28,590. For an SUV that's scaled back just a bit, the 2021 Tiguan S offers third row seating with a smooth ride and sale price from $23,990. For the luxury sedan driver, the 2020 Passat SEL is loaded from top to bottom. It's discounted over $6,000 and on sale from $26,499. And VW's most popular ride for drivers that love performance, safety, and economy, the 2021 Jetta S, on sale from $19,490. This month, find your perfect fit with a new Volkswagen from Pete Moore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fees with approved credit. See dealer.
I'm Escambia County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer Amber Southard. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for ECSO News on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Your Escambia County Sheriff's Office will be discussing lots of topics, and we'd love for you to call in with questions or join us in our conversation. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jewelry is a great idea for Valentine's Day because nothing makes you feel more special than a piece of jewelry that will last a lifetime.
Shine and dine them this Valentine's Day with Beret Jewelers. Spend $199 or more and receive a dozen roses. Spend $499 or more and receive a dozen roses and a $50 gift card at Bonefish Grill. Now through February 13th.
Love is in the air this Valentine's Day from Beret Jewelers.
I buy her jewelry at Beret. She loves me.
Pensacola Children's Chorus, One World Concert, I Pink I Can Run, and the Pensacola Symphony's 2021 opening night. We're everywhere you are because we're local and we live here too. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's the weekend on News Radio 1620 FM 92.3. Inside the house or out, At Home with Gary Sullivan has answers to your home improvement questions. Saturday morning at 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Thank you so much for tuning in to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Please continue with all of your texts and questions. We really appreciate it. In fact, somebody after our dollar weed conversation asked, what will kill dollar weed or weeds in general in monkey grass but not kill the monkey grass?
I think you're going to have to do some manual labor that out of there. I have known people who have tried, who've had that same problem, that have sprayed some non-selective weed killer on monkey grass that had dollar weed in it. I think your chances of damaging, if not killing, the monkey grass is great. But these people, they were desperate. They didn't want to pull them. They were just going to try it. And I think on some it worked, but I wouldn't recommend it. I think that's your... asking for trouble, trying to kill those broadleaf weeds in monkey grass. That's one thing about liriope, which is it's a great plant, especially if you've got an area that you can't grow anything, say under a magnolia. That's a good example. And you can plant liriope that's called evergreen giant. Now, that's a type of liriope that grows a little taller, a little thicker foliage on it. But if you'll plant them on 2 foot or 3 foot centers, in other words, each plant is 2 to 3 feet away from the other one, then you've got some area, vacant area between, where if you get weeds in there, then you can use some of your non-selective weed killers in there. You got to be careful. You got to get the right ones, because you don't want any that's going to leach to it. But the point is, you can control the weeds if you plant them, spacing them, say 2 to 3 feet apart. And so that's one strategy, and then mulch between it. Pine bark, cypress mulch, pine straw, and it makes for a very attractive bed. It really does.
That's the other thing. Trying to plant things under the magnolia tree, it can become difficult. And I've noticed a lot of people who have magnolias tend to just leave it barren under it. And somebody just texted in about a magnolia. This listener says, please don't plant a magnolia near a septic tank. They spent 2 days trying to dig a hole.
That is great advice. That is great advice because because those roots are so... I don't want to say invasive, that's not the right word, but they will cause you some problems. What some people do with magnolias or even oak trees, and you can't grow anything right underneath them, so just literally make you a very nice circular or whatever pine straw bed, and just put pine straw in there. You don't have to plant anything. The trick to making it look good is to have a very distinct line of division between this is grass, this is the pine straw bed. Very distinct line. Even edge it every time you mow the lawn, and it'll look very nice. It'll look very nice. But that solves your problem. You don't have anything growing in there. And if the weeds start growing, you can spray it with some of our special weed killers that you can grow put underneath trees. So that's what I would do.
That's excellent advice. And did we want to chat a little bit more about magnolias? Now, I had mentioned to you that we have magnolias that were planted right underneath a power line. Now, can you trim those back at all?
I don't think so. No? I think the best way to grow a magnolia is to let it go.
Okay.
Just let it go. Don't try to top it or make it smaller.
Right.
Oh, that's just not going to look right. It's not going to look good. If it's a newly planted magnolia, say in the last year or so, you might get by with moving it, but remember the roots that the lady talked about getting in her septic tank. What you're going to have to do with a magnolia, you're going to have to destroy a bunch of the roots that have established and then move it somewhere else. And whether it makes it or not is probably a flip of the coin because it just might not survive. A little bit like, and my camellia friends may disagree with me, if you're going to move a camellia, it's got pretty deep, extensive roots, too. So you've got to be so careful if you're trying to move a big one. But by the same token, if you're going to move an azalea, very shallow rooted. You can almost pry it out of the ground, and you can move them very easily. But the difference in moving a camellia and an azalea is kind of vast. It really is.
Right. So be mindful. If you are planning on doing some landscaping this year, look around, look up, look down, look into the ground. Make sure you're not near your septic system or even the water. I know for the city, they have the little access area.
Right.
So be mindful of that where you're planting it and or obviously property lines. But yes, definitely you don't want to just throw it in there because like you said, once it takes root,
then
you're
stuck with it or you're going to have to just give it all up. And that's why we talked about in the last couple of shows about this time of year, when you probably are not out doing a lot of gardening because the weather's so bad, plan, draw it out, and draw your house and mark where your existing trees are, mark where the telephone lines are. And so as you plug in the plants that you want to plant in certain areas, you know that once they grow, that's one thing that some folks forget, plants grow.
Right.
And you may say, okay, this is really, it really looks good, 3 feet away from my house.
Right.
For the first year or two, maybe it does, but give it 4 to 5 years, you got problems.
Yep. Just like those magnolia trees in my front yard. We're starting to notice a problem.
That's right.
And we don't want a storm like last night coming through and killing the power for everybody on the block too.
Well, and that's a good point. You get a Hurricane Sally, all the damage it caused. Obviously, trees falling over into the lines, go power lines, major problem. That's why we lose electricity.
Right. So, hey, I have a question. This is just off the top of my head. Why are certain trees protected here?
That's a great question because, and once again, we need to talk more about that in a future show.
Okay.
But there is a tree ordinance, and if you read the news journal this morning, the tree ordinance is being revised by the city because there are what they call heritage trees. Live oaks are a heritage tree. And before you cut one down or even do some massive pruning, you many times have to get permission from the city, especially if it's new construction. Because then the heritage trees are gauged by their diameter. if you have a diameter live oak tree, and the listeners will forgive me because I'm going to do this from memory, and I don't, my memory isn't always what it used to be. but anyway, I want to say a live oak tree 32 inches in diameter may be one that qualifies as a heritage tree.
Wow.
And so you can't just go build a house here. Let's just mow down the oak trees. Let's mow down all the other trees. You've got to do that. And one other thing. This is interesting, and I really want to get more into detail because I really am doing this from memory when I was up at 4 o'clock this morning reading the newspaper. The city is going to make a arborist available to make some judgments on what trees can be removed and what trees are heritage trees and all of that type of thing. So that's very important to have an arborist as opposed to somebody who just, you know, says it's a pretty tree and we don't
right.
want to cut it down.
It
somebody,
looks nice.
Somebody who knows.
You want a professional.
Who knows trees. So he's a professional and the city is going to avail themselves of an arborist.
I love that. Well,
yeah.
I have to say real quick before we take a break, I have a brother-in-law, not here, but he's a professional arborist and a professional tree climber. So they're out there, I'm telling you.
We need
sure.
him. We need him on
I
the
know.
Show. We need to get him in Pensacola.
He needs to call one day. He needs to call one day so he can
oh,
just talk
yeah,
to you. I'm sure you would like it. Hey, stick
that
around.
That would be fun.
We'll take a quick break. Join us right back here.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hard work, determination, honesty, fairness. These are the values you hold dear. And when you spend your hard-earned money, you want to trust that things will be done right. For over 100 years, BBB has been making it easier for you to find good businesses. When you see the BBB accredited seal, you know that's a company you can count on. So look for the seal and start with trust. Go to BBB.org and find a trustworthy business today.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
All right, we got a couple minutes left.
Okay, we're going to do a lightning round. You ready?
I'm ready.
A lightning
ding, ding.
Round. Okay, next tree. Crepe myrtle, plant one. Summer color, they're the best. Sycamores, big leaves, not quite as bad as magnolias, but they are messy in the fall. Huge leaves, fast growing, enormous tree, one of the biggest trees we have. Live oaks, we talked about those. They are great, and people say, oh, they're so slow growing. Not true, not true.
Love them.
Live oaks will grow fast. Once they get established, they'll do good. Drake elms, they're downtown along Palafox. They
yes.
really look good, have that beautiful, remember we talked about how pretty bark can be?
Yeah,
beautiful
it is very
bark.
Pretty.
No doubt about it. Now, last tree, talk about Chinese tallow, popcorn trees. If somebody says, you know, I've got a great popcorn tree in a pot I want to give you, don't.
Oh, okay.
It's an invasive species labeled by the state. Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't
That's
do
a
it.
No for me.
Okay. So we talked about dogwood, redbud, river birch, Japanese magnolias, red maple, bald cypress, crepe myrtle, sycamore, live oaks, drake elms, magnolias, and popcorn trees. That's the lightning round.